Hey everyone, Chris Wan here. This is Accent Out Loud, a podcast about one person's take on English language learning, accent modification, and communication. Hey everyone, this is going to be episode 21. Jeez, can't believe it's actually been 20 episodes, but here we go. This time around, I'm going to try and do something different. And I was actually inspired by looking at dictionary.com, and they have a neat little side section where they have the word of the day. And sometimes the word of the day is a word that I know, sometimes it's not. And I think it's interesting because I want to talk about how, for words that I don't know, I can figure out how to pronounce them. And in my weekly newsletter, I talk about dictionary.com as being a good resource to practice with. A, it's a dictionary, so you can find out the meanings of words. B, you can play the actual sound pronunciation of that word. Usually, I think it's going to give you an American English pronunciation, which is helpful for people working in North America, looking to develop a North American English accent. But I think there's a few things that I'd like to walk through when I'm learning a new word, what I'm picking up, and the things that I think are almost subconscious for me because I am a native English speaker to somebody else who is a non-native English speaker. Okay, so I'm going to just try and get this word, and I want to actually talk about the word of the day from yesterday. So today, for me, it's August 22nd, 2019. And the word of the day yesterday, so Wednesday, August 21st, I'll spell it out. You can try and guess it, pause the podcast, try and spell it out, or try and pronounce it if you can. OMPHALOSKEPSIS. And in the dictionary, dictionary.com, it'll tell you it's a noun, it'll actually tell you how it's broken up, and it'll give you the definition. And you can even hear it. So when I look at this, it sounds like omphaloskepsis. And if I play for the sound,
omphaloskepsis, omphaloskepsis,
omphaloskepsis. And it even breaks it down. It's a noun. It means contemplation of one's navel as part of a mystical exercise, navel gazing. And in the square brackets, it says omphaloskepsis. And what is important to note is that skep is bolded. And the way the reason why it does that is it's identifying that's the part of the word that is stressed. And in English, the stressed part of the word, the stressed syllable, is important because we say it a little bit differently than the rest of the word. Now, there's three ways that we stress in English a certain part of the word. We either say it a little bit louder, a little bit higher pitch, and a little bit longer. And now this might not be something that you're used to in your native language, but in English, it makes a difference. And you can hear it when they say omphaloskepsis. Skep is a little bit higher in pitch. And what that means, if I were to say, when I was talking to one of my clients, it was something that he had a little bit of a troublesome time grasping. And the idea is, higher pitch does not mean louder. Higher pitch means higher pitch. Now, if you have a background in music, you might get higher notes on the right side of a keyboard versus the left side of a keyboard. You can also think of it as an exaggerated form of girl's voice versus boy's voice, man's voice versus woman's voice. Man's voice is usually a little bit lower, and a girl's voice or a woman's voice is a little bit higher. This is because of the physical anatomy of the vocal cords. But a man can also change his voice so it goes a little bit higher. So you can start at a low pitch, and you can go to a high pitch, ee. So you can go, that's going up in pitch. And if you're going down in pitch, I'm not a singer, so I will preface this with, yeah, I know, I can't do this well. But the idea is, even if I were to take out the actual mouthed sounds in Omphala Skepsis, I'm not moving, if I don't move my mouth and I just hum it, is higher. And that's how I can invade the stress. Omphaloskepsis. And I think it's these subtle things that are not necessarily talked about in English language learning schools, in foreign English schools, in international schools, that they're not pointing these things out, these strategies or these skills. So sometimes you might stress the wrong part of the word. Omphaloskepsis. 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 If you stress a different part of the word, it changes the overall delivery. And that actually makes a difference to how easy it is to understand or not. If I'm trying to pay attention and I'm expecting you to go up, but you actually go down in your pitch, then that can affect how easy it is for me to understand. And so the bottom line that I want you to think about is when you are communicating, you have to be empathetic to the other person and think, how can I communicate this in a way that is easiest for the other person to understand? And that's how you can approach improving your communicative success, your intelligibility, your understandability. And it ultimately boils down to knowing what you want to communicate, knowing the skills that you need to be an effective communicator, and applying those. Okay, let's go to another word. The word of the day on Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. PUNDITOCRACY. So, it says, it's a noun, it's influential media pundits collectively. And I can guess based on this, the square brackets, talk is the stressed part. So, punditocracy, punditocracy. And we can try and hear it.
Punditocracy.
Punditocracy. Let's try August 19th, Monday. X-E-R-I-C. Xeric.
Xeric.
Perfect. Let's try and find another word that I don't have preconceptions about because I've been exposed to these words or something similar. Monday, August 12th, 2019. SUBITIZE. Stress is su. So it's subitize.
Subitize.
And so you can hear how I'm analyzing and identifying what part of the word is stressed and altering how I perceive the rest of the word's pronunciation. So I think that this is a good way to practice stress. It's such an important part in English, particularly, that it's something that people need to focus on, particularly if you're trying to improve your English accent, you're trying to work on your delivery and confidence. Stress is a very good and impactful skill to develop. Saturday, August 10th, 2019. SHIVAREE. Chivalry.
Chivalry.
Oh, chivalry. 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 You can hear how I thought the stress was on shiv. If I were to take out the words and I just hum it, you can hear how I place the stress on the first part of the word. Hence, shiv is a higher pitch. But in actuality, e is the stressed part of the word, the last part. Chivalry, chivalry, instead of chivalry.
Chivalry.
And so you can hear how that actually makes a difference to the overall pronunciation, even though the actual mouth movements are not that different. Chivalry, chivalry. You're saying largely, you're moving your mouth largely the same, but just that difference in the stress and which part of the word you stress actually makes a difference. Friday, August 09, 2019. Fascicle, fascicle.
Fascicle.
You can practice doing this and it gives you more developed skill in predicting, hearing, and targeting stress. And I think once you gain that insight into your own skills with stress, you can start paying attention to how other people use stress and mimic them to ultimately iterate on your accent or iterate on your pronunciation. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you aren't, let me know. I know this podcast can be something great and educational for a lot of people. I'm here to listen, so give me your take, your likes, your dislikes, and maybe we can make this into something that'll help a lot of people. Leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Once I figure out how to read the reviews, I'm sure it'll help.